When John, the writer of Revelation, referred to the Antichrist, he couldn't have known that his comment would trigger a global debate. For generations, Bible readers from around the world have tried to identify this mysterious character. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Revelation chapter 13, where the Antichrist is described. What role does this character play in God's timeline for the future? And what difference does he make in our lives today, if any at all? Chuck will answer these questions in his message called Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea.
Please turn to Revelation chapter 13. We're working our way through the book, and we've come to this very interesting, intriguing, I wanted to say, but I didn't want it to sound like a popular term, this dynamic personality called the Beast, who will be the most profound in the sense of his leadership, the most popular political leader the world's ever known. And then, as we'll see in verse 11, when we get there next time, there will be a second in command who will be a religious leader, and the false prophet working alongside this political leader we'll read about now will have the world in full sway as the earthlings believe the message that they present. We read in Revelation 13:1 that the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Revelation on your own, be sure to pick up a copy of the brand new workbook for our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. To purchase these printed workbooks for Acts 1 and 2, go to insight.org/offer. And now the message from Chuck called Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea.
Answer the following questions. They really all have the same answer, but the questions are different. There's this restaurant that was once popular and well attended by people in the community, served great food, and people would come not only for breakfast and lunch, but they even sometimes would enjoy dinner there. Now the restaurant no longer has that many people who stop in, and the food isn't really that good, and in fact, it's pretty well going under. What does that restaurant need more than anything else? There's this team, this athletic team, put together around a number of good young athletes. And the school has had a long-term history of winning, and now that's changed. The athletes are still pretty good, but they've lost now for the fourth year in a row, and the crowds are thinning, and there's not that much morale at the school. And, well, what does that team need more than anything else? What one thing? There's a city that was a thriving metropolis. People moved in there to live there and be a part of the communities of the city. Business was good and climate was great, but now there's been a turn, and in fact, the crime rate is greater, and there's no new home section being built. And in fact, people are leaving more quickly than they are coming. What does that city need? What one thing more than anything else? There's this country struck by terrorism. Thousands are killed. Fear is sweeping the country, and panic is setting in. People are pulling in and drawing their blinds and locking their doors and spending no time on the streets. But somehow this country needs to turn around and rally around the flag. What does the country need more than anything else? The answer by now to all of you is obvious. One word: leadership. It's the most significant ingredient in any movement. Peter Drucker, the guru of management and leadership, known for his famous quotations, once said this: if an enterprise fails to perform, we rightly hire not different workers, but a new president. If there's trouble brewing at the bottom and the trouble continues to brew, chances are good the real problem is at the top. The restaurant doesn't need necessarily another chef or new servers or even a different menu. Needs a new manager, maybe a new owner. The athletic team doesn't necessarily need to recruit fellows from some other area. That team needs another coach. What does that city need? It needs a mayor. It needs a group of leaders who will put together a plan that will get that city back on its feet. And the church that was emptying, once powerful in its preaching and strong in its music, that is failing, probably needs another pastor. Same for a country. We found that out on 9/11. Without the right leader, there's no rallying of the citizenship. Now, what is true in all these realms for good is also, unfortunately, true in the realm of wrong and evil. We should not be at all surprised to read and to learn that the great usurper of this world, the devil himself, when he makes his final move to conquer and to hold full dominion over the earth, uses a leader, a very carefully chosen and prepared vessel of his to possess, to do his evil work through. He needs someone who will become for him the dictator leader of the world. All of us have lived long enough to remember dictators who ruined countries. Stalin in Russia, Ceausescu in Romania, Hitler in Germany, Idi Amin in Uganda, Pol Pot in Cambodia, and Saddam Hussein in the great country of Iraq. Evil leaders, dictators, who determined they would answer to no one as they pushed the country in the realm of wrong to satisfy their own arrogance and game plan. Interestingly, when we meet this individual in Revelation 13, verses 1 to 10, we find that he is called not by some human name, but by the name of a wild animal, Therion is the Greek word. Therion means wild beast, which describes his nature. Well, this isn't the first time Scripture has told us of this individual. It's just called him by another name. John, in his first letter, chapters 2 and 4, called him out-and-out Antichrist. Paul calls him in 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of sin, or accurately, the man of lawlessness. So we've seen him before. But he's never set for a portrait, not until now. Understand when he will come on the scene, it will be yet future. When the world is at its chaotic, most chaotic moment, longing for and needing a leader who will give them a reason for going on, when wrong will have taken over and judgment will have fallen, the people will long for anyone who can help sign that peace pact between Israel and Palestine, who can come in with charisma and remarkable popularity, fame and fortune, and persuade the people that he has a plan that's worth following. And it is clearly against God. Dwight Pentecost, in his book, Prophecy for Today, writes this: the scriptures reveal that this conflict between good and bad, between light and darkness, is going to come to its climax when Satan brings his great masterpiece, the man of sin, the lawless one, the beast, on this world scene as the head of a great confederation of nations. This world is headed for a coming worldwide dictatorship under whom all nations shall be consolidated into one great world empire that will center in the worship of Satan. This system will be characterized by lawlessness, godlessness, and absolute authoritarianism. It will be the aim of this dictator to exterminate every believer in Jesus Christ and to outlaw God from this universe. He comes on the scene rather innocuously in the biblical text. Chapter 13, we find a dragon walking along the seashore. Now, if you were reading and had never read before in Revelation, you'd imagine an animal with 4 feet dragging himself along with his tail swishing back and forth near the seashore. But we know from our study of Revelation 12 that the dragon, and also Revelation 20, is none other than Satan. So it's a symbol of Satan, the devil himself. In apocalyptic literature, especially in the book of Revelation, the sea often refers to Gentile nations, not the Jews. So this causes most students of prophecy who take the scriptures literally and are conservative in their theology to claim that this one will come from among the Gentile nations. The political leader of the future will not be a Jew. He'll be a Gentile. Satan is standing on the sand of the seashore. It's a picture of his being in the midst of the nations of the world as if they were his rightful possession. They're not, since he is a usurper who seeks the world's worship. But Satan is moving about looking for his man, and he finds him. He emerges from the sea, we read in verse 2, and as we read in verse 1, and as we read of him, we will see his source of power is none other than the devil himself. John writes, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. In our terms today, if we were to read it in the Dallas Morning News, it would be reported that an individual emerged out of a certain country or is coming on the scene out of a particular nation. Biblical literature refers to it as a beast coming out of the sea. We know he has authority because he is said to have 10 horns, 7 heads, and on those horns were 10 diadema. It's the word for crowns. This is a picture of royal authority or governmental authority. The horns, most often in New Testament prophetic literature, refer to rulership. So these are probably the 10 nations that will be drawn together to follow him. The seven might refer to the seven original consecutive world empires, beginning with Egypt and Assyria. Then you have Babylon and Medo-Persia, followed by Greece and Rome, and then the Antichrist's own evil empire. The shift to seven crowns may well refer to governmental authorities that will be prominent then. Quite likely, the 10 national leaders who cooperate with this leader in his rulership over the world is portrayed in these 10 diadem and 10 horns. Please observe, they are all anti-God, because the end of verse 1 tells us they had blasphemous names. Their work, their persuasion, their philosophy of life, their motive is all about blaspheming the name of the living God. Verse 2 describes something of his authority and his style of leadership. The beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like those of a bear. His mouth was like the mouth of a lion. If you remember prophetic literature from your previous years of study, you know that Daniel 7 includes such creatures as a leopard and a bear and a lion. This is in opposite order from the way Daniel 7 refers to them. Nevertheless, this probably has reference to a composite empire resembling those powerful, vast empires of ancient years. And just imagine what they would represent. They would incorporate all the characteristics of these previous powers. Brutality, ferocity, swiftness, strength of military might, craftiness, determination, cruelty, deception. One writer sums it all up in these words. Here, John sums up all the brilliance of Greece, all the massive ponderousness of power of Persia, all of the absolute autocratic royal dominion of Babylon that the Gentiles have ever known. The point being, no human force by now will be able to withstand him. Don't miss the final sentence of verse 2. It puts a chill up your back. The dragon gave him his dunamis, his thronos, and his exousia megalene, his dynamic, his charisma, and his promotion, revealed in the word transliterated in English as throne, thronos. He's promoted to a place of authority. He's elected into power, or he's appointed there by the people. And with that comes influence that is great. Please notice it all comes from the dragon. Now, a person with this kind of authority and this kind of power must make an impact on the world. An interesting way he does it to grab the attention of the world yet future. John says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain. Some teach that this creature, this individual, literally is assassinated and comes back from the dead. And in his resurrected state, he now has the amazement of the people. We read here that the whole earth was amazed as they followed after the beast with the wound that had been healed. It may be that an attempt is made on his life. It may be that someone attempts to assassinate him or some conspiracy. But I tend to think it's a phony death. I think it's a faked assassination. I think it's all a setup to get the people of the world to believe him. I think it's staged. And as a result, they follow him, believing that he has been raised from the dead. What kind of authority would that bring? One writer writes this: perhaps Antichrist will explain his extraordinary powers by claiming to be the reincarnation of the Christ Spirit. Certainly, in a world where New Age pantheism and Eastern mysticism are extremely popular, more people would be inclined to believe in a reincarnation than a resurrection. Whatever, Antichrist's seeming invulnerability to death will win him greater, more widespread acclaim. Stay with me through this as you walk the journey. That's a very unusual path in this man's resume. The earth is aching for leadership. The need is enormous as the people, many are dying under the judgments. There is a great calling among humanity for a voice of authority, for some persuasive leader to say, we'll go this way, or we'll go against that power. And he comes on the scene with that kind of message, and he sweeps the people off their feet with this remarkable, albeit deceptive, method. And do they follow? Verse 4 is the answer. Talk about an amazing appeal. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And then they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? You may not know it, but that's lifted from Exodus 15, as it was there used for the praise of the living God. And now they apply it to a man and to the source of his power, Satan himself. The world by now is willing to believe anything, and will be willing to follow anyone who has this kind of persuasive style and technique and charisma. Some have taught that this is a resurrected Nero. There's no reason to embrace that. Some have said it's Judas come back from beyond. Again, that carries no weight. Some have said it's the death of the Roman Empire that will be revived. But this is speaking of a man, not an empire. This is people. This is a person that people are following. This isn't a nation or a philosophy of a nation. Whether his death is real or fake isn't clear. The point is the people will believe it's real. And they will bow and worship before him. Now, the activities are enough to keep you awake at night. Verse 5. There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words. Now, I want to interrupt here. Sound like a radio announcer. Let me interrupt this broadcast to bring you some information. But even though it's technical in nature, I think it will help you appreciate how possessed he is of Satan. Therion is a Greek word that is neuter, neither masculine nor feminine. So truly, the pronoun that would modify this particular name of the beast would be neuter. It would be it, not him, not her. And that's literally the way this could have been rendered, because it's a man. The translators have correctly rendered it. But I think it emphasizes something when in the reference of 5-8, four times the same identical phrase appears in the original. Let me give it to you exactly as it is. Look at verse 5. There was given to it a mouth. There was given to it authority for 42 months. Verse 7. There was given to it to make war. And there was given to it authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. The beast is Satan's man. He really would have no message without Satan. He would have no sense of strategy without the brilliant strategy of Satan himself. He is a puppet of Satan.
Well, know we're just getting started in this Bible study from Chuck Swindoll. He titled his message, Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea. Here at Insight for Living, we want to take a moment to express our gratitude for you. You see, this daily ministry exists for you. It's one of the many reasons we love getting feedback, because your comments reinforce that God is using this program to touch lives. For instance, we heard from a friend who left a comment on our website. He said, Chuck, your teaching brought me to Christ more than 20 years ago while I was driving a semi-truck through Chicago listening to your program on the radio. Another listener said, Chuck, it's hard to believe it's been 40 years since I began listening to your teachings on the radio. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's kingdom and His Word. You've helped me a lot. As we approach our 45th anniversary milestone this July, I can assure you these comments truly make our day. They remind us that God has been using this program every single day since July 1979. And when you partner financially with Insight for Living Ministries, you are the channel He's using to make an impact when people hear the truth and apply it to their lives. So as God prompts you to join us today, we invite you to give generously. No gift is too small as we band together to reach all 195 countries of the world. To give a donation by phone, call us at 800-772-8888, or you can give online at insight.org. As we get set to kick off the weekend, a reminder you're invited to join us online for the Sunday worship service at Stonebriar Community Church. In addition to hearing Chuck's sermon, you'll also be able to join in the congregational singing as well. You'll find all the instructions for streaming the live worship service at insight.org/Sundays. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again when Chuck Swindoll continues his study in the book of Revelation. That's Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Antichrist, the Beast Out of the Sea, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.